Blog Talk Radio.
What's it is Sunday morning? Get it this, let's go.
For their purchase. We surely appreciate it. But you about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong, just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this?
Okay, Hope, I got it from here, dog. Doggone it, man. Let's go. November 15th. It's a Sunday morning. Let's get up right and ready. The caller number is 929-477-2759. You got the next 90 minutes or more locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs. It's a tough situation in the world that we're dealing with a pandemic, and unfortunately, we don't have the full slate of sports like we're normally used to. So we have to adjust to what's going on at the time. So, you know, thank God for everybody going through this situation together and fighting through this. Just thankful for everything, but, you know, there's no NBA at this point in time. There's no college basketball actually on the horizon as of right now. They'll be getting in action soon, but we do have other sports that are taking way to at least keep us somewhat at ease. I don't want to say, you know, peaceful or whatever, but at the edge of our seat. So gives us our thrills throughout the week, the weekend, however we may look at this situation. But I can't lie, I am extremely thankful, especially for the week that was and this past Saturday that just went by yesterday with a full slate of sports that we will be diving into shortly. And first and foremost, to the fight that went down last night. So that fight between Kell Brook and Terrence Bud Crawford, I'm not going to lie, and I said this to the people that I was with yesterday, to watch this go down now. And the reason why I'm saying that is because even when Floyd was there, like Floyd became my favorite boxer after a while, I want to say around like the mid to late 90s, and Floyd ran a division and went undefeated. But now there's so many interesting names in the welterweight division that, you know, it's almost like a parent. I hate to call these guys my kids or whatever, but you don't want to see them fight. You don't want to see these guys go at it because you like or love to respect the name of what they made up for themselves. A lot of these guys are undefeated, or a lot of them have one loss, trying to, you know, build themselves back up to be, you know, title contenders, try to get the belt and feel better about themselves and be the man that everybody's chasing or trying to hunt after. So with this fight going on with Terrence Bud Crawford and Kell Special K Brook, I cannot lie. I am a Kell Brook fan, but I do like, love Terrence Bud Crawford more, you know. But I didn't want to see them go at it, but it has to go down. Styles makes fights, and, of course, they try to sell this as best as possible. And I question the boxing arena, if you will, on why Bud Crawford is not getting the attention that he deserves. He's undefeated. He's beating everybody that's given to him, and he's not getting, you know, the respect that either pay-per-views or whatever, HBOs or Showtime, whatever he deserves. He doesn't get that, but they continually overlook him. And that fight last night, I'm up here like, Kell Brook is the bigger boxer, so Crawford's going to have to find a way to get around his power, because if Kell lands one of his power shots, I don't know if Crawford could take it. And this is always something that I looked at with Floyd Mayweather as well. Like, Floyd would go through something like a bigger boxer, knockout artist type guys, and it's like Floyd has to stay away from it. And Floyd would, you know, study these guys early. Once he figured out what they like to do, he took it away from them and then implemented his fighting style. Well, enters Terrence Bud Crawford and learns to do the same situation. So the first round, Kell Brook looked like he won that round. I give him the first round. And then after that, it was like Crawford switched from right hand to left hand and make it more difficult, and he got the spacing that he needed to get rid of Cal Brook in the fourth round. Once he switched back to southpaw, which we always normally see him fighting, it was hard for Cal Brook to land anything. And if Cal Brook would have just kind of seen where the, you know, the spacing was, he would have seen that Crawford was stepping outside of his foot and landing everything. So this was a big deal for, you know, Bud Crawford to take advantage of it. And once the fourth round got to him, he landed a barrage of punches. One of them got to his chin and dazed the heck out of Cal Brook. And Cal Brook went running, basically looking like Thomas Hearns almost against Hagler. And the ref called it a standing eight, or standing eight count, and counted the eight, got him going. And next thing you know, he got finished off. Crawford finished him off right against the ropes where he was basically standing at, and he didn't fall or anything, but the ref stopped the fight. And, you know, I'm elated for Crawford to win this fight. But looking at Cal Brook and knowing Cal Brook had to not only rebuild himself from Triple G, because Triple G knocked him out, and then he got stopped by Errol Spence when Errol Spence had, like, broken his orbital bone in his eye socket. And then knowing that he won his last fight trying to build himself back up and loses to Bud Crawford, it's like, I don't know how he gets back into, you know, contending caliber, if you will, if they try to throw that to him. So this was a good early fight, even though it got stopped in four rounds. I thought that Brook would bring it. Brook brought it that first round, but after that, Crawford switched southpaw, took advantage of it, and then Tony Weeks, the referee, basically stopped it before it could get, you know, out of hand. I think that the fight was stopped way early, but a lot of people that were around me were basically saying, you know, that was a good stoppage, the good thing that it didn't get out of hand because they thought Cal Brook was in danger. So at least I could see him, you know, respond well. And then he was actually talking about it after the fight, saying that he felt that the fight was stopped too early. And, you know, I feel bad that these situations can occur. As best as possible, they could try and get through it or just jab their way back into the fight. But he wasn't able to. Crawford threw a barrage of punches at the end to finish him off, and he was landing everything once he had him dazed. So this is the one thing that I like for Crawford. He's calling these people out. And I don't want to see these guys go at it, but they have to. And this is the sport of boxing. I got to just shut up and button up and watch it go down because it brings the excitement to the sport. But give him the fight that he wants. And, you know, Bob Arum was calling out Pacquiao, calling out Spence, maybe Garcia, waiting to see who wins the fight between Spence and Garcia. I don't know. And to me, I hate to pick on him like this, but, like, Pacquiao is 41 years old right now. And it's like, yeah, your name sells, but if somebody beats you, people look at you like he's an older Pacquiao. And it's not fair to other boxers. If they lose, then they fall heavily. You get praised as a better boxer and so on and so forth. But if they beat you, it's going to look like, well, they picked on an older Pacquiao. He should have been, you know, tested while he was younger. So that's tough. But Pacquiao did enough work to get to where he is right now. So I want to wait and see what ends up on his plate. And if they do give him, you know, better consideration, whether it's pay-per-view or HBO or Showtime, give this guy his respect. I'm tired of seeing him fight on, you know, lower-level channels or just barely making one of those pay-per-views, so on and so forth. I don't know why his name isn't selling when this guy is a damager in his own right. So shout out to Bud Crawford taking care of business up against Cal Brook. I did not think that's how it would have went down last night, but it did. I thought this would be one of those back and forth. And the crazy part about Cal Brook put a mouse right underneath or on top of his eye, on top of Clarence Crawford's eye. So he was getting to him. He started swelling him up. But I think Crawford knew that he couldn't let that eye get even bigger or darker and give a weakness to Cal Brook to be, you know, successful, because you don't want to – he's a knockout artist, so you don't want to end up not being able to see a punch come towards you. So shout-out to Bud Crawford on that note. College football is the next thing I'm going to jump into. Now, by the way, before I do jump into the college football situation, Tiger Woods in the Masters did not make it past the third round, he will not be successful. So there will be somebody else crowned today as the winner. It looked like it could potentially be Dustin Johnson. He is up, but there are people right behind him. Rory is sitting at 10 under. This is quickly, but we'll find out who wins and what as of today going through. But Dustin Johnson does have the lead in the Masters, but Tiger will not be crowned this year after winning last year. Okay, so looking at college football, I feel a certain way right now, Sports City, because unfortunately some things bad are happening in college football, especially dealing with this pandemic, and some teams aren't able to play or don't have a full roster. I understand. I get it. But some of these teams are completely getting outplayed, and I wonder what the universities are going to do about whether it's the coaches or try to scout better. I don't know what they're going to do, but we're going to get into this right now as I pull the scores up. Okay, so the week that was, like I said, for college football, this is week 11. The first matchup I have in the top 25 is the Cincinnati Bearcats take care of business on Friday evening up against East Carolina, winning their matchup 55-17, in which Cincinnati was in clean control all game long, went into the locker room up 35-10, did not stop scoring. They scored every quarter, basically having the advantage every quarter, outscoring them. Desmond Ridder, if you don't know, now you know this guy is a gamer, a baller, however you want to look at it. He had 327 yards passing, 3 touchdowns thrown. He also was running the ball well, too, as a quarterback. So it made it very difficult for East Carolina. Now, I get it. It is East Carolina. They are not playing the best ball that we're used to seeing them play, but they are competitive. And they're sitting at 1-6 right now. I feel bad that this is how they look, but they went up against the number 7th-ranked Cincinnati Bearcats. I wonder what the committee is going to do with them because they are running the table, and I don't know if they get into the top 6 or top 4. We will have to wait and see, but I tip my hat to Cincinnati for the way that they've been able to come out and play ball and stick to the script. Everybody's doing it, but a lot of people are saying if they played a lot of the powerhouses in the power conferences, that they may struggle, but they've done it. Like, defensively, they have everybody, especially in their front 7, and their offense, they have weapons all across the board, especially in the skill positions at the receiver position. So, Cincinnati, I'm aware. I'm awake now. I am watching what's going on. The start of Saturday, I'm going from top to bottom. Alabama's game was suspended due to this pandemic situation. That's why I started the situation. I was saying, we're going through some unfortunate times, and it's tough and seeing how they will try to reschedule this, but it's nobody's fault. It is nobody's fault. Well, maybe the powers that be, but nobody in the NCAA or colleges, whatever, but that's a whole nother discussion, campaign, political, whatever. How are you going to address it? So the Notre Dame Fighting Irish take care of business up against Boston College, winning this game 45-31, in which early in this game, Boston College made this interesting, and this was the same situation that they were up against Clemson. And once Notre Dame took that first punch, it was kind of like, okay, let's continue to roll. And once they rolled, it was like Ian Book took over. Ian Book had this game 283 yards passing, 3 touchdowns thrown. He also had 85 yards rushing with 1 touchdown. The hype is around him with Heisman contention. So, and it's interesting now that Trevor Lawrence has not played, that his name falls out of this because he hasn't played. So Ian Book is one of the big names that are being addressed for the Heisman. The next matchup I have is another Heisman hopeful or in contention to win the award. The Florida Gators win their matchup up against Arkansas. Now, this is the crazy part about Kyle Trask. This guy's been going off, and the world has been taking note. 356 yards thrown, 6 touchdowns thrown. He is on an impeccable rate right now, throwing the hell out the ball. He is actually eclipsing Joe Burrow's season last year, and he still has games to go. He still has games to go. So this is huge for Kyle Trask. They beat Arkansas 63-35, in which the former quarterback from last year, Franks, is now the quarterback in Arkansas after a transfer And he was kind of pumping it up like he was going to be able to knock off Florida. Arkansas has never won in the Swamp. That's interesting. So he tried to turn around. They ended up putting up 35 points on Florida. So, again, Kyle Trask, between him and Ian Book, we have two quarterbacks right behind each other in Heisman contention doing the damage that they are able to do at this point in time. Another Heisman hopeful or guy that's in contention. I'm biased, so it's tough for me, but I got to talk about it. The number 9 ranked Miami Hurricanes steal a game in Virginia Tech in a thriller. And for me, if you know me, I was at the edge of my seat. They win this game 25-24 in a late fourth quarter comeback in which they were down 5 in the fourth. They were at one point down by 10 in the third quarter. And Miami did enough to storm back in this game and win this one again. Last week they did this in North Carolina State, being down a good amount. And then this week they come back all the way into the fourth quarter and win this game by 1 point, in which Virginia Tech has several different attempts to try to tie or try to take the lead, not even tie. They were given a ball, and Miami's defense stood up late to get this game and win in Blacksburg. De'Eriq King, the Heisman hopeful, 255 yards thrown, one touchdown pass, and one touchdown ran in as well. Cameron Harris, the running back for Miami, had a good day, 63 yards rushing, one touchdown, and off of 14 carries. And D. Wiggins had a huge day. I was hoping he could score in the passing game because he would be more effective receiver during this game, even though Mark Pope scored the game winner. He had 8 receptions for 106 yards. Moving to Big Ten play, Indiana. This is crazy, because I would have never expected Indiana to be a top 10 team, but they are taking care of business 24-0 in East Lansing. This wasn't even in Indiana at all. They shut Michigan State out. I don't know what to say. This is mind-boggling. Ty Freifogel had 11 receptions for 200 yards, receiving 2 touchdown receptions as well. And the quarterback, Michael Penix, had 320 yards passing, or 2 touchdowns that was thrown to Ty as well. 120 went to other receivers within the game. It depends on how the committee looks at it. I think Indiana and Miami might stay at 9-10 unless something happens with something in front of them. But I think everybody kind of stays idle, if you will. Oregon versus Washington State. Oregon wins their matchup 43-29, in which in this game, Jaden Delora had a good day passing the ball, but it wasn't enough to take care of Oregon because they had the lead early. Washington State was taking care of business until after halftime. Oregon woke up and got into the game. And C.J. Burdell, the running back for Oregon, was going crazy. Had 18 carries for 118 yards rushing and 1 touchdown. We do have a caller in queue calling out of the Colorado area. We have Mr. in the building. Eric, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Hey, good morning, brother. I'm feeling good this morning. How about yourself?
All right, just getting through the top 25. So where I was talking about the Oregon-Washington State game, trying to get through this one. The one thing about Washington State, the quarterback, Delora, he's from the same high school as Marcus Mariota and Tua Tagovailoa. Now, this is the crazy part because he's a freshman. He is going to make a name for himself. If they continue to work with this guy, put weapons around him, he throws every ball around a lot. Like, I'm not calling him this guy. I'm about this name. Please, people, don't take this the wrong way. But he could be esque as Mahomes-esque because he was making every throw, bombs, intermediate, in the flat. He can make all of the throws, and he's a freshman. So he's going to get stronger as time goes on. But I'm going to get through the remainder of these scores and then ask you for any input, so on and so forth. The next matchup I have is the Wisconsin Badgers crushing Michigan. Now, this is – and I'm glad I got here so I could stop here. Wisconsin wins this game 49-11. I'm going to say this right now, Sports City. Michigan is lucky. They scored that 11 points in the third quarter. If they would have got shut out, I thought Harbaugh would be in trouble today. Either last night or today, I think Harbaugh would – probably at the end of the season, they will end up moving on from Harbaugh. I don't think that he's the guy – any longer in Michigan, even if they beat Ohio State this year. And the way that they're losing, there's no way that they're beating Ohio State. There's no way. I don't care if it's in Michigan. I don't care if they're playing in Michigan's locker room. I don't care if they're in the parking lot in Ann Arbor. It's not happening. Oh, boy, you did a good job while you were in San Francisco. You did a good job while you were in Stanford. You came to Michigan and kind of changed the culture and did enough to, like, make the cut work. But it was like you would win 8 or 9 games, lose 3, and settle for a bowl, and that's that. You know Michigan is looking to contend. I think they'll be out of work with him, especially for them to lose by 38 at home. They were home. I feel horrible, and I don't like talking about anybody's job or why the people be out of work, but this is not working. They were getting knocked around left and right in this Wisconsin game. Just watching, it almost looked like Draco versus Apollo Creed. Somebody needed to stop the fight. The next matchup I have is Marshall winning their game up against Middle Tennessee, 42-14. Yesterday was the 50-year anniversary of when Marshall's plane had fell with the football players being passengers on the flight, and they passed away. Knowing that was an emotional game, they took care of business. I don't know. It's tough for people to play the schedule, be considered as a D1A school, and if they run the table, if there's powerhouse teams in front of them, they don't get considered. Marshall is always one of these teams that run their table and still end up in the top 20 and not in the top 10. So Marshall did what they were able to do, 42-14. The next matchup I have is an upset, but I don't really consider this an upset. I was actually going to try and touch this game, but I said when it's a night game, Tulsa always plays good, and they upset the Pony Express and SMU 28-24, 19-ranked SMU. I think they will end up falling, but this is tough for Tulsa to win this one, having one loss on their season, doing the best that they can, and SMU was a well-talked-about school, but right now I think they will fall. Right behind them, USC wins their nail-biting game for the back-to-back situation as they open up conference play. USC beats Arizona 34-30. Arizona made this one an interesting game. USC was going back and forth with Arizona and ended up with the ball last and scoring late to win this game 34-30. Liberty wins their matchup 58-14 up against Western Carolina. I'm not going to lie, Sports City, I was in the midst of watching the Miami and Virginia Tech game, and it was like every time the bottom line with flash scores, it was like Liberty scored again. Liberty scored again. Liberty scored again. I was looking at the bottom like they are beating the crap out of Western Carolina. But I apologize, Western Carolina, that's their first game of the season. But Liberty looks like a well-oiled machine sitting at 22nd rank. I think they will be considered and moving up, and they are undefeated. Northwestern wins their matchup in Indiana up against the Boilermakers 27-20 in Big Ten play. The Wildcats are doing what they need to do. They're unbeaten in Big Ten play. We'll see if they start playing some more of the powerhouses, but it's always that game, whether they play Ohio State or I can't even say Michigan because I think they'll beat Michigan this year, but a strong powerhouse in the Big Ten, and they'll end up getting knocked off. But right now, Northwestern is undefeated. I'm not taking anything away from you. Surprise somebody, Wildcats. Surprise somebody. The last matchup I have in the top 25 is Louisiana winning their game up against South Alabama, 38-10. They are back in the top 25. We'll see if they get to move up after suffering one loss this season. That rounds out the top 25 with a lot of games being canceled due to the virus situation. Alabama, LSU was supposed to go down. That game was canceled or postponed, excuse me. Ohio State versus Maryland was canceled due to the virus situation. Texas A&M and Tennessee was postponed as well due to the virus situation. Georgia and Missouri was postponed also due to the virus situation. Coastal Carolina and Troy was postponed due to the virus situation, and Auburn and Mississippi State to round out the remaining teams surrounding the top 25 was postponed due to the virus situation. It's like I said at the top of the show, it's unfortunate times that we're dealing with Sports City, but at least we have these times to, kind of deal with this on the men together. Eric, is there any game or games? Let me not leave it at one game, but your thoughts on the games that went down, one that caught your eye, or a thing that you want to talk about within week 11 in college football?
Yeah, I just think it's sad to say, but we've definitely seen the end of the Harbaugh era in Michigan. He came there with high hopes coming from the 49ers and just hasn't delivered, So I look for him to be fired at the end of the year for sure. And just looking at USC, they're looking at their return to relevance, and Clovis's the last two games proving he's clutch, man. They came back from two big deficits in the fourth quarter to come back to win. So
And well, if they're coming back to relevance, I just want to see like more teams in the Pac-12 make it difficult, you know, for a team like USC, because to be honest, they don't play defense in the Pac-12. That's my bitterness toward the Pac-12 and the Big 12. And that's crazy that both of them are 12 team conferences, but that's what I want to see is more defense be played. And a lot of these teams or these games go off and end up with, you know, 40-point scores, 50-point scores, 60-point scores. It's a basketball game instead of football. But, I mean, USC did what they could. That was their first game last week, scoring 28 points, winning that game 28-27, and then winning this game this week, and it's going up 34-30. But you're seeing that they're being scored on, too. So this is something that, to me, is a concern. It is a concern. So your thoughts that before we get away from them.
Yeah, it's definitely a concern for me too, Ty, because as you know, USC back in there, you know, when they were relevant, they always had a great defense, and defense is definitely lacking and all over the Pac-12. So as we saw with the Washington State game last night, you know, it ended up Oregon put up 50 points on Washington State when they started out hot. So definitely needs to be some more defense.
We will see. Hopefully they focus on it, because it's not. I feel bad like I'm picking on the Pac-12, because there's been a lot of big names that have, let me be fair, that come out of USC that have made their names defensively, but not out of, like, you know, Arizona or Arizona State or, you know, Oregon, Stanford. Like, you'll get names here and there, but, like, no big names like Troy Polamalu, Clay Matthews.
Yeah.
Like, that's USC, like the rest of the conference is like, wait, come on, like who is gonna be the guy to make a stop here? Like, there's no, if it's like third and one on the goal line, that's a four down territory in the Pac-12. Like, I feel like you can force it down and throw and score. Like that's how I look at the Pac-12. That's just me, or the Big 12, both of them. That's the way I look at it. But that's neither here nor there. Okay, so. We're going to get into the NFL Week 10 predictions and picks of this week, which will be taking place in an hour and a half. Again, the call-in number is 929-477-2759. Okay, so, Eric, since you haven't been here in a while, we're going to start you off first. The Houston Texans are playing the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland. Nick Chubb is back on the roster. Who do you like in this matchup and why? And who do you think will be the player to watch?
This is a hard one, Ty. You know, the Cleveland Browns are both teams are actually underperforming. You know, I thought the Texans would win this division. So they're starting to climb back up the last 2 weeks. So I'm going to go out and say Houston's going to win this game today. I just haven't seen enough consistency from the Cleveland Browns, and Deshaun Watson's going to have a big game, and Houston's going to take it.
And I think, just to let you know, I think David Johnson is out at the running back position, but you still feel comfortable going with the Texans in Cleveland?
Absolutely.
Wow, this is tough for me also, and you just made it even more interesting saying that. The Browns are sitting at 5-3. The Texans are 2-6, looking like they finally got into football caliber, even though they aren't playing what they were looked at trying to play at the early portion of the season when they started out. They started out, forget stumbling, they just fell flat on their face and finally got up and started trying to run, you know. But I'm going to go against it. I'm going to go Cleveland. I think the player to watch in this game is both of the running backs, being Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. I think that they could have ball control. Do not let Baker try to win this game himself. If the Browns lose this game, the questions will swirl around Baker even more, and I think Baker needs to stay away from this as best as possible, because everybody's gunning for him. Oh, he's not the quarterback, so on and so forth. They got to get rid of him. They got to try and move on in the draft and get somebody else. Baker needs to make a name for himself and continue to get this train while the Browns could try to make a push at playoff contention. I don't know if they will, but their record, they are in the hunt right now, sitting at 5-3. So we're split right here. I'm going Browns, he's going Texans. The next matchup I have is the Washington football team up against the Detroit Lions. This is in Ford Field in Detroit. I don't even know which way to go with this one and trying to homer this one out, but I'm going to go Lions just because I feel Washington has their issues. They've been losing quite often, but they are still in the hunt to be around or in first place in their division sitting at 2-6. If they pick this game up, they can be close to tied or half a game back winning this game up against Detroit. But I'm staying home. I'm going to go Detroit. Who do you like in this matchup, Washington or Detroit?
I also like Detroit in this one. I actually thought Detroit would be a little bit better this year. You know, they got a lot of great young running backs and wide receivers. They also have the veteran Adrian Peterson there to help them out. So I look for Stafford and Golladay to have a big day today and Detroit taking care of business.
Well, just to let you know, Golladay is out in this game. So just to refer to that.
In the game? Well,
We're gonna have to have
a big game from Marvin Jones.
Yeah, and Hockenson is back in play too. Hopefully, he can do something in the passing game.
That'll be good.
But my question still remains around Matthew Stafford, man. As much as people are enamored with his big arm, if he can't get these guys, and I hate to be brutal, I hate to be this way, Sports City, but if he can't get this team to be 8-8 on the season, or push them to be 9-7. I'm trying to be fair to say that the Lions can lose two more games in a season. If he runs the table and wins 8, that'll be great. They could end up being 11-5, but I don't see that happening, especially with his style of play. Like he's a nail biter every single week, and that's not going to be successful for at least to get them to a playoff or make a run to a Super Bowl. So my question still remains in front of Matthew Stafford. He won a game against Atlanta at the buzzer, and it took a buzzer beating Todd Gurley touchdown for Detroit to win that game. If not, they'd be sitting at 2-6 right now. They 2-6. So, but Stafford, there's more questions for you to be answered. You had a concussion in the Minnesota game. The way back into this game is crazy. The next matchup I have, I mean, I really don't have to force this answer, but the Jacksonville Jaguars are in Green Bay up against the Packers. okay, I'm gonna make it fun. Green Bay is favored by 13.5. The Packers cover at home.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think the Packers cover at home. They're just playing lights out right now. You know what I mean? I think Davante Adams is emerging as one of the premier wide receivers in all of football. And then they got Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones, a two-headed running back monster that every team has to face. So, yeah, I look for Green Bay to just keep rolling. You know, I like Gardner Minshew, but Jacksonville got rid of too many of their weapons. So, you know, they just cut. How could you cut Fournier, just release him? You know what I mean? That was a questionable. Definitely somebody should be fired over that move. So, but, yeah, I see Green Bay rolling.
we talked about I'm not going to lie to you. Like, to me, I'm still bitter about that. Like, you get rid of the best player on the roster. Like, that was good to help Tom Brady. Like, wait, hold on. Like, that's not even feasible to me. To me, it's like Jacksonville is either ready to move to England or they're ready to just fold the organization up, even after getting rid of Jalen Ramsey. All of the guys that they had on the defensive side of the ball, now they're just, like, just something to go do or go see on a Sunday. Like, this is horrible. Watching this happen, and they're going into Green Bay 13.5. I think that Green Bay covers the 13.5. I don't know. I feel like there could be shock value. I feel like there could be a trap game sitting in the middle of Vegas, but I still feel like Green Bay could cover the game. We do have calling out of the state of New York. We have James Greenwood in the building. Welcome to the bunch. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling good, Ty. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. So we are at the third game, but I'll let you pick quickly to get caught up. Texans or Browns in Cleveland, who do you like?
I'm taking the Browns. I do not expect Nick Chubb to ball out today. Usually when you see a player come back first day off of injury, first game off of injury, they usually don't. They usually play conservative, hold them back a little bit. So Kareem Hunt's still the Browns back to play if you're a fantasy football player, but I still think the Browns win. And it is time, regardless, to get rid of Baker Mayfield. He's just not doing it. He's relying on absolutely everything else on the team, and it's plainly obvious. Get rid of him, even if you do make the playoffs.
We'll see. They're 5-3, and they're doing it without Odell. If they pull this off, they're 6-3. There has to be some defense for him winning at 5-3. He said it the other week. He said, you would have thought 5-2 or something like that. I think the record, they were 5-2 at the time. He said, you would have thought that'd be good. It's not good enough for people. So it's brutal. Okay, so let me keep moving. Washington football team versus Detroit. Who do you like in this matchup?
I'd really like to see Washington win. Alex Smith's first game back after his, you know, trial and tribulations and all that. But I still think that Detroit's going to win. It's going to be close. Washington does have a very good defense, and Detroit's offense is injured, and they just don't play just that well without Kenny Golladay. But I'm still taking Detroit at home to win this game.
Mm. He's picking my football team. That's cool, though. I like that. That's a good thing. Okay. So now we're caught up to speed. The Jacksonville Jaguars up against the Green Bay Packers. Who do you like in this matchup and why?
I like the Packers. The Jaguars aren't as bad as people think they are, but they're not good enough to beat the Packers, as much as I'd hate to say. I still don't like the Packers, even though I'm not a Lions fan anymore, but I'm still taking them to win the game.
That's cool. Get your bags and get the packing. Okay, so now that we're caught up, all right, Sports City. So there was a show Wednesday night. We call it the Cookout or the Caller's Cookout. Me and Barry go at it, the villain. I'm going to set it off right here, right now, before these people get to start the picking. I made a bold statement. I already said the Giants will win this game up against the Eagles and put pressure on that first place situation in the division, having 3 wins. But the Eagles will probably still hold on to it. If the Giants could pull this off, they'd be 3-3. The Eagles would be, 3-5-1. I'm already saying it. I'm picking Giants for the upset at home to win this one. Even though Philly is favored by 4.5, I made a bold statement. I got to stick with it. If I lose, I know I'll hear the noise on Wednesday or definitely back here next Sunday. Eric, I'll come to you. Philly or the Giants division rivalry in MetLife Stadium in Jersey?
I'm also going with you on this one, Ty. I think the Giants win. Golden Tate and Slayton are starting to play really good right now. They got Devontae Freeman filling in for Saquon Barkley. And the last game these two teams met, it came down to the last second with the Eagles getting a touchdown at the end. So I look for the Giants to get the win today at home. So definitely.
Just so you're aware, though, I think Devontae Freeman is on IR. So I think they're still going with Gallman. They are still without Saquon due to the injury, the season-ending injury.
Yeah.
But still, yet, I still feel strong. And Danny Jones trying to pull this off up against the Eagles. This is a very entertaining type of game. So I think the Giants could get this done. I got to stick with myself. James, who are you going with, your Eagles or your home state Giants? Who do you like?
I don't live in New Jersey. I'm taking the Eagles.
Wait, what's the name of the team? What's the name of the Big Blue? Just tell me what's the name of Big Blue. What's the name of the team?
They're called the Giants. They claim to be.
It's kind of like those
guys from Jersey who claim to be from New York but aren't really from New York. It's kind of sad, really. They should have their own Jersey pride.
What is the name of the team?
The fake New York Giants.
Oh, there they go.
only one team in New York. but I'm taking the Eagles. The Eagles are finally starting to get healthy. Alshon Jeffrey's back in the lineup. It's his first game back as well, so I'm not expecting too much out of him after a long hiatus. Dallas Goedert was back into the lineup last week, so I expect this week to start seeing his contributions go up quite a bit as well. So I think that all the pieces are starting to come back together for Philly. I'm going to take them over the Giants this week.
He went back to Philly. There you go. He's showing his fandom. There we go, Sports City. So we get the truth out of James. There we go. Okay. The next match we have are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going up against the Carolina Panthers. This scares me right here, Sports City, because Tom Brady's coming off of a very bad loss last week. And going into Carolina, I was like, Brady has a good record of not losing back-to-back games. But going into, I think it was yesterday, the Buccaneers were held at the airport or on the tarmac. I'm not sure if they were on the, you know, on the plane, but they were there for 7 hours. It's already giving you one of those question marks going into this game. But I'll let you go first, James. Your thoughts, Buccaneers or Panthers in Carolina, Tampa Bay's favored by 6.
Oh, I mean, I think Tampa Bay does end up winning this game. I don't think the spending 7 hours on the tarmac really means much. I mean, there have been teams who have had, like the Tennessee Titans were held 7 days without a practice and still came in that week and won the football game. So it's I don't think it's as rough as people think it is. Carolina is a better team than their record. I will give them that, but their defense is horrid. So this is going to be the perfect opportunity for Tom Brady to come back to you know, have an easy defense to go up against. The Buccaneers will probably win.
Wait, hold on. So no love for Teddy Bridgewater? What's going on?
The man can't do it by himself, you know? And also no Christian McCaffrey this week. That does slow things down. Mike Davis has been a fantastic replacement for him. He should get a starting job some point after the season's over. Somebody's going to bite in onto that. But, nope, Teddy can't do it on his own. He can't play defense. So it's going to be a shootout. I'm going to say 30 points for both teams. And Carolina has a shot to win this. But if I'm prognosticating, I'm taking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay. Eric, how about you, Tampa or Carolina? This is in Charlotte. The Bucs are favored by 6, coming off of a loss. And just like James said, that's why I said it should be easier for the Bucs to win this game, but it's got me questioning it due to the delay of the flight. But Christian McCaffrey is but James also, you know, implemented that. Mike James has been playing good as well. But I'm not so sold on Carolina to get this done. Who do you like in this matchup, Buccaneers or Panthers?
Yeah, Buccaneers just by a little bit. You know, 6 is a good spread for them because, I mean, they've been playing inconsistent this year. Tampa Bay, I thought they'd be a lot better. They're loaded on the offensive side of things, you know, with Gronkowski, Fournier, Evans, Godwin, and the addition of Antonio Brown. So, you know, if Carolina had a better defense, I'd like Carolina in this game at home, you know, because just the way Tampa Bay's been playing. But it's going to be a long day for Carolina, so Teddy Bridgewater can't do it on his own.
I want to ask you guys a question before I move into the next games. Do you think that Antonio Brown going to the Bucs may have crowded this situation, especially the way that they lost against the Saints? Because the Saints have an interesting defense. I don't want to say that these guys are flatliners, but for them to be shut down like that at home last week, do you think Antonio might have caused a stir? I don't know if I'm using the right word by saying a stir, but like, do you guys think it's crowded in Tampa?
It is crowded in Tampa. There's way too many targets. There's just way too many weapons. And on one hand, that's a great thing. You know, if you lose one, you've got, you definitely have a next man up mentality, but there's not enough football to go around. And adding a new piece this late into the season could easily be something that has a problem working with dynamics. All of a sudden everything changes just a little bit because you have another high power piece that you need to at least look in their direction once in a while. So it's changed the dynamics of the offense, but I don't think it's something personal that Antonio Brown's doing, or at least there's been no reports of that yet.
Eric, how about you? How do you feel? Do you think Antonio might have, you know, made it interesting? I don't think he's starting anything in the locker room. There's not been any reports or anything, but with him being there, like with Godwin and his injuries in and out of the lineup and, you know, them trying to, you know, redo situation while O.J. Howard's trying to fight his way back, Gronkowski being there, like Evans being there. Do you think that this could be an interesting question mark around Tampa Bay?
Most definitely, because, you know, most quarterbacks in the league, yeah, you have, you know, your top two receivers, and then you have, you know, like your go-to target. I think Tom Brady, this could be a little bit confusing for him. You know, when you start throwing the ball to too many different players – there could be problems, you know what I mean? A lot of overthrows, drop balls and such. But I think Mike Evans is their top wide receiver by far. You know, he's been consistent. And he throughout the years before Tom Brady came here, he's been their best player. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. Definitely with Godwin in and out of the lineup, you know, it could help having Antonio Brown. But we'll just have to see as the games go on.
Okay, did I make a selection on the game or no? It was just you two?
I believe it was just us two, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go Tampa Bay, but I am scared. I'm wary of this situation, especially with the spread, too, sitting at 6. I would think it would be considerably higher because the Bucs are coming off of a loss. I could care less if this was in Carolina. If this was, you know, the NFC Championship, I think the Buccaneers would empty the whole clip out on these guys, but This is a very questionable spread, but I'm going to go Tampa Bay to win this game. To cover, I'm watching this closely. I am watching this closely. This is basically the touchdown, but no extra point. But I'm comfortable if they're in Tampa Bay will cover, but I'm watching it closely. Okay, so we start off the 4 o'clock division rivalry. The 3-5 Broncos go into Las Vegas. I will be there in a few weeks up against the Las Vegas Raiders. The Vegas Raiders are favored by 3.5. Eric, I'll start with you. Your thoughts on this matchup. Who do you like and why? And who is the player to watch? Did we lose
the Las Vegas?
Here?
No, I'm here. I like the Raiders in this one, Ty. The Broncos just don't have enough power right now. I mean, Drew Lock came back. He's starting to play decent, but they just don't have the weapons the Raiders have. I look for Josh Jacobs to have a huge game today on the running game and the Raiders covering the spread. I like the addition of Aguilar that the Raiders have, Renfro. I mean, they just have some good young players right now, and they're starting to get in stride, as we've seen. 2 back-to-back wins, division wins. So I look for the Raiders to easily win this game.
Okay, I am going to agree with you. I'm going to go Raiders as well. I think they cover this also. As much as I'm a big Phillip Lindsay fan, he's a home run hitter waiting to break one, but Drew Lock is going up against a hungry Raiders defense that has basically been overlooked. They're not being – you know, talking about as much as possible. I think people are just waiting for the Raiders to fall flat. But this is a different Raider team opening up a new stadium in Las Vegas as well. I'm going with the Raiders to win this game. It's tough for me to put confidence in the Derek Carr. But in this game, I think they take care of business up against the Broncos. But I feel the Broncos may make this interesting, especially with their spread sitting at 3.5 and they're in Vegas. James, who do you like in this matchup, Denver or Oakland? I mean, Las Vegas. I just said Oakland. I said Vegas. Jeez.
I'm going with the Raiders on this one as well. Drew Lock is too inconsistent right now to put anything down on him. Las Vegas has been secretly developing a really strong wide receiver core. Their defense that was really shaky in the beginning has started to solidify itself. They're not by any means great, but they should make short work of Drew Lock and the Denver Broncos.
Okay, so we have a clean sweep there. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Rookie quarterback against rookie quarterback. The Los Angeles Chargers go into Miami up against Tua and company with the Miami Dolphins sitting at 5-3. In the hunt in the AFC East, making it interesting. Who do you guys like in this matchup? I'll start with you first, James. Chargers or Dolphins in Miami?
I'm going to take the Fins in this one. The Chargers are a really interesting team, and they're another team that I think is a lot better than the record. But the Dolphins are kind of cooking in all cylinders right now. Bringing in Tua has only helped their offense, which was a kind of a surprise to me, making that change midstream while Ryan Fitzpatrick was still winning football games. But it seems to have been the right move in this instance, so good on them for making the right call. And Tua's not fallen on his face yet, so let's see how it goes this time. but I'm going to go with Miami.
Yeah, you were one of the guys talking that junk, too, so I'm glad that it's happening for Tua, too. And he's looking good. He's looking good. I remember when all of you guys were up in here talking junk, saying they don't know about that move with them pulling Fitzpatrick for Tua. But this is an interesting game, and for the Chargers, they are missing some pieces also. Eric, how about you? Who do you like in this matchup, Chargers or Dolphins? This is basically a pick 'em. The Dolphins are favored by 1.5 at home.
Yeah, I also like the Dolphins. It looks like they're getting back to relevance. You know, for so long they have just been a team that just gets beat up on. They get good players, they trade them away, and they're just basically like a minor league team for all these other teams. But, bringing in Breida and Gaskins, they got a pretty good two-headed running back game going on. Tua, he's been playing great. I just want to see him and Devontae Parker, if him and Devontae Parker can get on a good rapport and then get Gesicki in the mix, the Dolphins are going to be a contender in the playoff mix this year. So I like the Dolphins to easily cover the spread and probably win by 7 today against San Diego.
Wow, even got a good, he got a score picked out too. Okay, so
sure.
Get right back to it. It's interesting because for me, when the draft went down, I was one of the guys pulling for Justin Herbert. And I'm like, get Justin Herbert so he can sit behind Stafford, learn the offense, and cut our losses. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. The Lions went with Jeff Okuda, and, things happen, but nevertheless, Justin Herbert has made a name for himself, and even though the record doesn't show it, they're doing as best as possible, to say the least. Now, Tua is in an unfortunate situation because Fitzpatrick fought to keep these Dolphins relevant, and they put Tua in. Tua come off with some interesting wins, to say the least. I think the Dolphins win this game at home. Tua keeps the train rolling for the Dolphins. The Dolphins had waited some time to get out of this cellar, if you will. And, I've been a Tua fan since he was in Alabama, since he's, had to take the reins from Jalen Hurts while Jalen was falling apart in that national championship game and won the game up against Georgia. Tua's story to me, it can't get any better. Well, it can get better. I don't know. I don't even know how to say that. But I'm a Tua fan. I can't lie. But Tua keep leading this thing. We do have a caller in queue calling out of the DMV or the Keystone State or wherever he think he may be from. We have Aaron Simmons in the building. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
I think I may be from. Throw some respect on my city, man. I'm from the 412. I just live out here right now.
Well, listen. I don't know, man. You ain't from around here no more. You live in the DMV. That's what I know. So you can call it how you want.
They sign the checks. That's where I rest my head at. But home is home, man. Home is home.
Man, like I said, listen, he don't know what to do for today. He says the 703 or the 412. If you look at his phone number, it says 703. So that tells me he's in the DMV. I don't want to hear nothing about no 412. He don't even have a phone that say 412 and try to rep it. Like, I don't want to hear that mess. Maybe the Simmons family. Shout out to my family, Preston and all of them. I got you, Leah. I got love for all of y'all. You know what I'm saying? But he ain't from around there no more. So.
Okay. I was born there. Got some stuck on my city. Anyway, what's up, fellas? What's up? You don't make me touch my words,
man.
I'm good, fam. I'm good.
Right on.
See what I got to deal with for city. This is me, man. Okay, so
about Greenwood in the building, about bandwagon Greenwood on here.
Oh, that's me. That's me, brother. That's me.
Hey, what's going on, my dude? I haven't slept in the team yet.
I've been in hibernation for a bit, but I'm back now.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay, I gotcha. Hey, let's move.
Okay, enough of this love boat madness. I'm going to start. I'm going to start you guys off at the top because there's too much New York and Virginia love going on in this doggone business, and I'm not here for that. Y'all call Chuck Woolery or something. Okay, so I'm going to start you from the top. We'll get you done quickly. Texas Browns.
Yeah. Texans.
Wow. You and Eric both said that. Washington Lions.
What would James Greenwood pick?
I picked Detroit.
You won't even believe what he picked. You won't even believe what he picked.
I picked Detroit.
I'm going to
I don't like that I picked Detroit. I don't like that I picked that starry ass football team. But this time they're going to win.
Right now, Stafford is 4-0 versus the Washington football team all time. I think this is going to be a revenge game. AP is going to run like a man possessed. Give me the Lions.
Look at this. We got Detroit love all around the board. Even one that left us. That's the boy. Oh, boy. It's going to snow. It's going to really snow. Okay. So I'm going to make this one fun. Jaguars are in Green Bay. The spread is 13.5. The Packers cover. So the Jaguars are safe with 13.5. Okay.
I'm going to take the Jaguars at 13.5.
But the Packers win this game outright, though.
Yeah, I think the Packers
won it out, right? Okay. Eagles-Giants, like I said on Wednesday, you were there. I said the Giants will win this game. Fell Jess, I'm sorry.
I'm going Philly here, coming off a bye. They're getting some pieces back. I think Philly just is done today.
Buccaneers-Panthers?
I'm going Buccaneers, but I think they won it ugly. I do believe that there's an issue with Tampa Bay right now. We can talk about that a lot on the show, but I think there's an issue with Tampa right now.
Why? Because of your boy Antonio Brown? Let me not even get you started. Okay, the next matchup we have are the Broncos and the Raiders. See, I know this dude like the back of my hand. I know him. I'm telling you, I deal with this dude too much. Okay, he from Virginia. The Broncos and the Raiders. This is taking place in Las Vegas. Who do you like, Broncos or Raiders?
You know, we still are fans. Don't like cats from Connecticut. So, we Pittsburghers. We call ourselves Jesus. And I'm gonna go with James Greenwood's second team. I'm gonna go with the Oakland Raiders. I mean, Las Vegas Raiders.
I did it too. I said Las Vegas like 5 times, and then next thing you know, I said the Oakland Raiders. It's still messing me up. Okay. And we're catching you up now. Chargers, Dolphins. Who do you like in this matchup, Chargers or Dolphins?
You know what? Here's the funny thing. I wanted to say this Wednesday. I, for one, was one of the guys that was in here calling Barry all kinds of foul language words because he thought that it was a good move to go to Tua. I still think it was a tad bit early, but he seems to have steadied the ship. The question I have right now is how is the Chargers going to lose this game? That's what I want to know. How do the Chargers lose this game? I think Miami wins it, but I'm curious to see how the Chargers lose it.
What new way are they going to figure out to fuck it up?
Exactly.
Wow, Andy.
What new way are they going to mess this up? Like, the LA Chargers of the early version of the Atlanta Falcons. Like, I don't understand how they lose these ball games, but they do. So, it's going to be interesting to see how it happens.
So, first off, are you apologizing on air to me?
No, I am not doing that. I'm fresh out of church. You know, the Lord is working the three ways. He ain't worked on that one yet. That ain't never happened to me.
And the words that we all, like we learned
heavy
in church,
duty.
The words are, the words are, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. For real. And don't even want to, like, attest to it. It's terrible. Okay, so since you did that, who are you picking, Dolphins or Chargers?
I'm going to pick the Dolphins to win it because the Chargers are going to lose it.
Okay, so now we're back up to speed.
I think the Chargers are going to outgain them. I think the Chargers are going to outrush them. I think the Chargers are going to literally outplay them at every facet, but they're going to find a way to lose this ballgame.
Okay, fair enough. So now that we are caught up, the next matchup we have are James Greenwood's Buffalo Bills, so he'll be going last up against the Arizona Cardinals. Eric, I'll go with you first. Who do you like in this matchup, Bills or Cardinals?
This is a tough one, but I'm going with the Bills. Josh Allen, you know, he's emerging as one of the top quarterbacks in this league. They've beaten some tough teams. Arizona, Kyler Murray has shocked me. He's starting to play really good ball. He's got some weapons now. You know, they got Hopkins. He's one of the top receivers in the league. But I look for the Buffalo Bills to edge him out today and continue their dominance.
This is a very interesting game. I do not know which way to go with this. I want to save James for last, but I want to hear how you guys go. Sirius, your thoughts on this game, Bills or Cardinals?
What's the spread on it?
The spread on this game is the Cardinals are favored by 3. Wow, this is crazy.
Yeah. This is pretty much a pick 'em game for me. I think the Cardinals win this. The Arizona Cardinals win this. They had a heartbreaking loss last week at the hands of aforementioned Miami Dolphins. That division is really, really getting tight. And I think that the Arizona Cardinals find a way to get this done and kind of bring, you know, the new bandwagon circled Buffalo Bills fan and James Greenwood and back down to earth. So I think the Arizona Cardinals win this morning.
Wow. Okay. This is very interesting. So we have one. I'm stunned right now. Okay, so James, here we go. Who do you like, your Bills or the Cardinals? And this is in the toaster.
I'm going to take the Bills. My gut says the Bills. My brain says the Cardinals. My gut's saying that that this is going to be a really tough game either way. But the Bills. In my head, I'm thinking the Bills have always had trouble with high-powered offenses, and that's what the Cardinals are. Let's just call it what it is. But I'm going with the Bills. I'm going with my gut. I'll pick the Bills by 1. And Vegas always gives 3.5 points to the home team anyway. So Bills by 0.5 point.
Boy,
game of the week,
really,
by the way. This is the hardest game of the week. By far.
Oh no, it's not. You buckle up. I got a couple of games. You buckle the hell up. This is tough for me because Sirius was in the kitchen about a week or two ago talking about Bills defense this time. He's talking about the Bills defense and they doing what they need to do to win games right now. And this is still a tough game to pick up against the Cardinals. Damn. Like, I'm still shook on which way I want to go. I am going to go Buffalo to win this game. Buffalo makes it out, you know, out of hand in the AFC East to win by, to be up 8-2 in the division. So I'm going to go Buffalo Bills to win this one. I don't feel comfortable doing this at all because I am a big Fitzgerald and D-Hop fan. And, you know what, I'm switching. I'm going Cardinals. As much as I'm up here being shaky-bakey about it, I'm going Cardinals to pull this one off. How about that?
Yo, what is up with Lions fans and flip-flopping on this show? What is up with Lions fans flip-flopping on this show?
I'm faithful. Listen. Don't act like you don't be flip-flopping like crazy on picks. You out of anybody do it. Don't you even start.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'd rather talk about that.
Wait, you just got out of church and you lying? Are you lying out of church? Are you lying out of church?
See what I'm saying? You're making me say some bad words. I can't do that. Fix it, Jesus.
Exactly, Eric. Exactly. Hallelujah. Hearing these people confess. I got people splitting their stuff up, everything, man, and they got to tell the truth. They got to tell the truth out of church. They can't sit up here lying. What is this? Okay. So let me keep on going. The next matchup we have, and interesting enough, James said that was the only game that's going to be popcorn ready. But let me get going. We have the Seahawks up against the Rams right where I said this would. This is a game to watch. This is a popcorn get ready type of game because this is for the division lead right here. Russ is coming off of some crazy losses looking questionable. The Rams are playing out of their mind for me, at least sitting at 5-3. Neither one of them could afford to lose right now. Who do you guys like in this game and why? I'll come to you first, Sirius.
I'm going with the Seattle Seahawks. I really am. I understand the defensive woes that they have. I just had very little to zero faith right now in the Rams offense to sustain significant drives. You know what I'm saying? Like, when it's good, it's really, really good. And that play action and that motion and those jet sweeps and stuff that Sean McVay it loves to run is great. But I've seen way too many games when they literally get beat the heck up. And, like, Cooper Kupp is lost. Jared Goff can't hit nobody. The running game carousel is exactly what it is. You don't know who's getting the rock, you know, and there's no type of fluidity or movement with that offense. That defense is getting better. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Aaron Donald needs no endorsement from anybody here. Jalen Ramsey is that dude. However, outside of those two names, that's going on. And, once again, they were made to look silly in their last performance. I mean, I've seen way too many Rams games this year to feel confident that they're going to be able to shut down and contain a Seattle-led offense, regardless of whether Chris Carson is playing or not. So give me Seattle and this one.
Okay. Eric, who do you like in this matchup, Seattle or Los Angeles? This is in L.A. also.
Yeah, roll Hawks, roll. Seattle's way too powerful for the Rams. You know, just like Sirius just touched on, the Rams have, you know, they look shaky at times and they've gotten their butts beat. So I'd like to see more out of the running game. They're in Seattle. They need to give DJ Dallas and maybe Alex Collins some more handoffs because they've been relying on Russell Wilson way too much, you know, which is going to hurt them the longer they go. They need to develop the running game. So I look for that to happen this week, and DK Metcalf to have a good game.
Do you know where DJ Dallas is from?
Huh?
Do you know where DJ Dallas is from?
Your team.
Just making sure. Just making sure. Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's why it's third string, right?
The emblem of the cross in front of them and put on a facade. This is what's wrong with America, people. This is what's wrong. And they come up here try to be brutal, so on and so forth. DJ is up here starting doing what he can as a rookie. Travis Homer, the other running back behind him. Guess what school he came from? Both of those running backs out there helping Russ out from the U. One letter. Listen, it ain't Penn State. It ain't Philadelphia.
Hey.
So
hey,
get it together. Get it together. So don't sit
and
up here and start hating out of church. Wait,
thing.
No. You said too many interesting things.
To
listen.
Here's the bottom line, gentlemen. They need Seattle needs to give these guys the ball and let them run with it and see what they can do. They're relying on the passing game way too much, so they need to get these guys involved.
There you go. Somebody with a cool head. If you leave it to James and Aaron, this is the problem. This is the problem. You can't get these guys together. Look at them laughing. I said it right on time. Laughing, laughing. They Laffy Taffy. Okay, so I'm gonna go. This is tough for me to pick this one because the Rams are undefeated at home. This is the bad part about it. The Rams are undefeated at home. I'm gonna go Seattle just because of my boys, and I am a big Russell Wilson fan, and he's from Virginia, like Sirius is too. So I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna go Seahawks, even though I don't rock with Aaron too much, but I'm a rock with him right now. James, you didn't go on this, right? You're the last one that didn't go.
Yeah, I am the last one for this one, but I don't know.
Okay.
If I hear that those two South Florida gentlemen get more than 10 carries apiece, then I think I'm going to be more inclined to vote for to go with the Rams on this one, but I am going with Seattle because I think they're going to just let Russ cook like he's been doing all season.
Wait. So you're going with those South Florida products, right? That's what you said, huh?
Well, they're going to throw the ball a lot. I would not start either one of those South Florida products in fantasy football. Let's just put it that way.
Okay, watch. Somebody's getting 80 to 100 yards, either Homer or DJ. How about that? Watch that. Somebody's getting
all right,
80 yards to 100 yards there.
So I'll put a stake bet on that. You want to put a stake on? On them being a RB, a starting running back, so top 20 running backs in fantasy football. We'll go PPR.
Let me get this straight. Hold on a second. Hold on a second, Greenwood. Neither one of them guys have ran over 100 yards yet all year.
True.
Today is a new day. This man said
they're going to be 100 yards.
Right.
This man said he's going to be 100 yard back. Man, TP, if you don't take your cornball behind somewhere else, man, I swear for God, you're going to make me crazy.
I know you're not talking. What happened with Penn State?
We got our tail kicked because we got a sorry squad. Next question.
Okay.
Don't get started on Penn State right now. I'm trying to be good out of church now.
I was chilling. It's only so many times you're gonna piss in the wind and tell me it's rain. So I'm gonna give it right back to you. You want some humble pie? You take that with your little nitty lines.
It's all good. We're 0-4.
Y'all can't even win
every game this year. We can't even win. We're not a football team right now. You would know about that. So how am I supposed to react, you know, when I root for a star football team? Give me some instructions. Help me.
So you ain't even trying to talk college football at all. You saw over there pitiful. You look like tears of a clown, like Smokey Robinson. Don't even start with me. Look,
I'm
with
you. I'm an emotional fan right now, bro.
He is cursing out of church. If you can't take the heat, you know what to do. Okay, let me get going. Look, no, you say you bitter. You say bitter and emotional, and you say you good. How do bitter and emotional recognize with good? He's lying. I'm telling you, this dude be lying out of church.
I'm good.
He's lying out of church, and he cussed.
Time out.
He shouted. He probably was in church and shouted, and he up here cussing.
I'm the drummer.
Okay, let me go. Okay, the next one we have are the 49ers. The 49ers up against the Saints. This is in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. The Niners, New Orleans is favored by 9.5. This is a predicted blowout. I'll come to you first, James. Who do you like in this matchup and why?
I'm picking against the 49ers in this one. They have some real issues at the quarterback position to start with. This is not the team we saw last year. Raheem Mostert still sitting on IR, even though they had what we thought was a stable at running back. I'm still going against them. I'm going to take the Saints. Big. Saints win in cover.
Wow. Aaron, who do you like in this one? Niners or Saints in New Orleans?
I like the Saints in this one, but I don't think it's going to be as big as the score and as the line indicates. I will say this: typically, how these Saints teams play, they come off a big one and then they have such a similar letdown. I do think their talent enough will prevail them to a victory here, but don't be surprised because Mullins is slinging that rock, and they do get their rookie receiver back in the form of the 49ers. Still not buying right now the Saints defense or the secondary. So I believe there are points to be had. I do believe that the 49ers are going to be able to move the football. But when it's all said and done, I just think that Drew Brees and company find a way to get this done. But if the line is 9, I take the 49ers to cover.
And it's 9.5, so you still would be still going Niners. Okay. I am going to also say Saints, too, at 9.5 looks funny for some reason, but the funny part about it, the last time the Niners were in that building, they went crazy and Kittle went off. Kittle is not there. I think that they remember that punch in the face where they couldn't stop anything. Garoppolo was going off. I think the Saints win this one. I don't know if they cover that 9.5. I say the Niners are safe and keep this interesting. Eric, since you are the resident Niner fan, everybody's going with the Saints. Are you going with your boys, or do you think the Saints win this game against your injury-riddled team? Because they are injured really bad.
Yeah, absolutely not, Ty. I'm keeping it real here. I'm going with the Saints. You know, we got Debo Samuel out, George Kittle, Tavon Coleman, Mozart. You know, that's our offense right there. You know, Ricky James, I do like what he's doing. He's emerging as one of our top guys right now. He caught 9 passes for almost 200 yards and a touchdown last week. Mullins is definitely holding his own, but you know, I'd like to see more out of McKinnon. It's a good thing he's healthy because, as you remember, he's been out the last 2 to 3 seasons. So it's good to see him back in the mix. But, yeah, the Saints are going to roll on this one.
Do they cover the 9.5?
I'm thinking so. You know, they're going to win by 10 plus. So, yeah, I give them that. The Niners will put up a fight, it's not going to be like what the Saints did to but what the Saints did to the Buccaneers is not going to happen against the 49ers, because the 49ers, you know, no matter how injury riddled they are, they, you know, the team goes out and they have heart and they fight. So it'll be a game that way, but the Saints are going to cover the spread.
Is anybody in the kitchen that believes the Bengals can knock the Steelers off and give them their first defeat in Pennsylvania? Anybody?
That's glue talk there, Ty.
I don't deal with them drugs, man. No, I don't know, man. The Bengals may have some shock power in them. Sirius might go against the Steelers today. How do you feel, Aaron?
Here's the funny thing about this, all right? Last week, we were favored by 14 and 1-5. I will say this about my squad. I love us, but we tend to do some dumb stuff and play down to opponents, and Joe Burrow is that dude. So I think we won it, but we're favored by a touchdown, maybe not.
7.5. Seven and a half. Okay, so let me make it fun. Do the Steelers cover the 7.5? Anybody in the kitchen think that the Bengals will win with the 7.5?
I'll go with no. Divisional games are always closer than people expect. Not always, but more often than not, divisional games are a lot closer than people expect. I fully expect the Steelers to win, but I think that the Bengals cover the 7.5.
Okay, interesting. Okay, so the game of the night, well, for the evening, I won't say the game of the night, but for the evening, the Baltimore Ravens go into New England up against the stumbling New England Patriots. Do anybody in the kitchen believe that the Patriots can win this game up against the Ravens? The Ravens are favored by 7, too. Anybody feel some type of way?
Well, want to so bad. I want to so, so bad.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Show me your alliance. Go ahead. You got to pick. Look, it's either the Ravens, the team that you love, or the dude you've been picking on at Cam Newton. Pick it. Now you got to pick it. Now you got to pick it.
You know what? You know what? My stomach hurt. Let me go on and put on something. I'll be back after this. Real talk. The line is 7.
The line is seven.
And it's in New England.
It's in Massachusetts.
I can't even do it. I want you so bad. I'm trying to talk myself into picking the Patriots to win this one and cover, but I can't do it.
Go ahead.
This
is show your fandom to Cam Newton. Come on. I need to hear one. Or you support Lamar. Either one. You either support Lamar or you support Cam. This is beautiful that I get to hear you like this. This is beautiful.
You know, here's the thing, you know what I'm saying? The Bible says the Lord wouldn't put more on me than I can bear, right? And this is getting dang near close. So,
What's with the Steelers fan and all the flip flopping? I mean,
wow! Listen here, green one. I need you to shush your face, sir. You know what? Let's go. You know what? I don't even care. Let's go, Patriots. I think the Patriots cover. I think the Patriots win by field goal because I don't trust that Ravens offense. And Bill Belichick's going to make do one-dimensional, and he can't seem to throw accurately down the field. His receivers are some trash. You know what I'm saying? They Hollywood Brown is mad. You know what I'm saying? So give me the Patriots to win 21-20. Bam. Get at me.
Four City, we have history. He just was a Cam going crazy on me the other week, 2 weeks ago, and now look at him siding with Cam. This is absolute. Look, I'm telling you, the truth is coming out of people. He just got out of church. He done cussed. He done did everything. He done lied. Man, I don't know what else. Listen, I couldn't trust Sirius no further than I could throw him. Trust me, I couldn't trust him. Listen, okay. So everybody else is saying Ravens, right? Sirius is the only one doing the Patriots, correct?
Yeah, I'd like to pick the Patriots too. You know, I thought they were gonna. It was actually gonna be a good team. It was gonna be the right fit for Cam, but their defense isn't playing up to par. And I look for Dobbins to have a big game on the ground. And Lamar still has some weapons. I'm not sold that they have trash on the. You know, Snead, Boykin, and Marquise Brown are. I think they're all gonna be good receivers in this league, but. We'll see how Lamar Jackson plays. Just like Sirius says, when he gets one-dimensional, his accuracy is questionable. So we'll see what happens. But I like the Ravens to win easily in this game.
So you're pulling for the Ravens. Okay. So, Sirius, I'm going to say this to you. If the Patriots pull this off, I'll give you a clean 3 to 5 minutes on the show Wednesday. At the cookout, I'll let you go off. You could say Cam this, Bill Belichick that. I'll let you go crazy.
I'm gonna take it anyway.
I'll cut it off quick.
Are you trying to talk for your man's man? Yo, hold on a sec. Villain will let me go. Villain let me cut.
I'll let
good over evil. Good over evil always wins.
And who put that in you? I told you that. Listen, Sports City,
this
is what's
the funny thing about it. Wait,
stop.
That's our bio.
Let me talk.
That's in the bio.
Listen, cut it out. I made the bio. Look, this is the crazy part. This is crazy. Sports City, do you understand what I go through between James Greenwood and Aaron Simmons? I'm telling you. This is what I go through. These people are horrible. Horrible. Oh, my God. I wonder how they sleep or talk to people like this. This is crazy. Okay. Last matchup of the day. Is there anybody? I can't even really do it like this. Vikings or Bears Monday night. I'll start with you first, James. I'll let you go first on this one. Vikings or your Bears in Chicago.
Why are they my Bears? That's such a random one.
You have anthem music for them. You have anthem music for them and everything.
It was the Bears suck. So, but the Bears don't suck enough to lose to the Vikings this week. So I will take the Bears. It'll be a defensive struggle. I don't know what the over-under's at, but I'm taking the under. Unless it's like in like the 30 or something crazy like that. But I'll take the Bears and that defense to stand up to a kind of a broken down Vikings team that will probably get better over time, but not this year. So I'm taking the Bears.
Okay. Mr. Simmons, who are you liking this one, Minnesota or Chicago?
You know, the funny thing about this one is, like, this can go either way. Like, for me, I have zero, and I want to emphasize this, zero faith in that Chicago Bears offense. I have just as equal zero faith in that Minnesota Vikings defense. But when it's all said and done, if you line up man for man, pound for pound, I do think that the Vikings have the better assortment of players and the skill positions. So give me the Vikings, but it's going to be an ugly one. I think Dalvin Cook's going to do what he needs to do. I think Thielen and Jefferson are as good a 1-2 punch as we have in the league. And I think that Kirk Cousins is going to do enough to not lose the game. So give me the Vikings.
Okay. And Mr. Gross, who do you like in this one, Chicago or Minnesota? Chicago's at home.
Yeah, this is a hard pick. I mean, Chicago, I thought they were going to – once they got Nick Folk, I was like, oh, well, things are going to open up for this team now. Now maybe the Bears can do some damage, but it's still the same old Bears. So I'm going with Minnesota. Yeah, they've been inconsistent this year, but Dalvin Cooks, he's going to run wild, have a big game. And just like Sirius just touched on, Dean and Jefferson, you know, they're going to have a good game too. And can't forget about Kyle Rudolph. So the Vikings still have their weapons. Kirk Cousins, you know, has been playing inconsistent, but I look for them to rebound and have a good win today over the Bears.
Well, it's Monday night, so we still got time. I agree with you. Dalvin Cook could go crazy, but to me, for this pick, it depends on what Kirk Cousins will we see. And James know me, I pick on Kirk Cousins a lot, and he's come up with some crazy, masterful game somewhere and just start losing like normal. I wonder what Kirk Cousins do we see. Does he get erratic with that front seven that the Bears will try to throw at him, or does he end up completing passes to the speed that he has at the skill positions? So I'm going to actually go Minnesota because I feel like Chicago's going in the wrong direction. They've just lost three straight games. I don't want to really say about with them losing four, but they don't even know which way they want to go, quarterback, if it's Trubisky or Foles or what. There's their issues there. So I'm going to go Minnesota to go 4-5 and make it 5-4 for Chicago. Okay, so we are at the tail end of the show. I need plugs, closeout, shout-outs, anything that you guys would like to promote as we shut it down here at the brunch. Mr. Simmons, be nice after you done lied, cursed, steal. You did everything. I don't even know what other sin you did, and you just got out of church and got cleansed for it. I don't know. But, Sirius, I'll let you go first. Plug, close out, shout out as we shut the door on the brunch.
You know, I done took off the blazer, loosened up the tie, you know,
stealing. This is a thief. This is a whole thief. This is a whole thief. This is a whole thief. A whole thief. In the words of Jay-Z, you need Jesus in your life. You need Jesus in your life. That's horrible.
Yes.
People are bad.
You know what I'm talking about? It's that boy who turns up in that 412 and the 703, man. Such a pleasure to be here with you guys, cutting up like always. Yo, I know you guys touched on it this afternoon before I jumped on, but, yo, if you missed that Crawford fight yesterday, you missed the treat. This dude here is something to be reckoned with. If you sleep under a kitchen somewhere and been paying attention, yo, wake up. This man is nice. He mentioned something about trying to do a Pacquiao fight in the spring of 2021, so stay tuned to that. It's going to be crazy to see what happens, man. But, yo, good Lord willing, we'll be back in here on Wednesday. I'm taking my 5 minutes because that's what I'm gonna do because that's what Sirius does. You know what I'm saying? Man, if y'all wanna holler at me, hit me up on my social media platforms, man. God bless. I'll catch up with you guys later.
He just sat up there, lied, stole, cheated. Like, I don't know what else to say about this. Is ter- and he just got out of church. Like, I, man, this is terrible. I don't know whatever. I'll either be a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness, Muslim. Like, what is his practice? Like, I don't know. Okay. He said his stomach hurt. Well, my head hurts having to hear that madness, this mess, this. Just do something. Just stop letting that happen. Jess is a good woman. Like, just please do something. Please help me, man. Please, Jess. That's the only way this is going to happen. Otherwise, people like him are going to run rampant in the world. Okay, Mr. Greenwood, I need a plug, close out, shout out after this madness that Aaron just put forth. Help me close the door on the brunch.
Had a great time, as always. I want to give a shout out to my man, TP Timeless, for finally admitting he was wrong about Kirk Cousins after all these years, admitting that I was in fact right. But anyway, I'm loving it. Can't wait for next week. Talk to you guys later.
There is no way in the world that I'm giving you credit for Kirk Cousins at all. The only team he's successful against is the Detroit Lions. I'm not hearing that. Did you see the record? Do you see that record? Are you out of your mind? Anyway, welcome back, Mr. Gross. You hear how madness, and these dudes just came out of nowhere to come back into the game and got it all riled up. So welcome back in the Sports City. Give me a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we shut the doors here at the brunch.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, it's been a blessing. Been a good show today. Great to be back in the kitchen, and much love and respect to my brothers as always, Mr. Greenwood, Sirius, TP Timeless. Everybody out there, enjoy your games tonight. So we'll see you on Wednesday.
Sports City, I got people still in my line. I got people up here trying to put bets out here on air. Now, Sports City, what are they trying to do to me? They're trying to do this to me. They don't know who I am. Like, they don't know who I am. But this is what I go through. People that don't know what team they like, they hanging on to a branch of Detroit. They want to be in Philly. They want to be in Vegas. They want to be in Upper New York with the Bills. Like, I don't know. Shoot, I'm guessing gangrene, big blue. Like he, this is.
I fully reject the Factory of Sadness teams. I mean, they're fully rejected.
If I start saying Tywan Jones or Teddy Bridgewater or Sam Darnold or Thurman Thomas, I'll pull all of the old juices out of him.
Sam Darnold, I never trust USC quarterbacks.
I didn't interrupt him at all on his closeout. I didn't interrupt him. I let him do everything he needed to do, get it all off his chest, and now this is what I'm doing. So, and he loves Philly. He loves, he got a lot of allegiances across the United States of America. I bet you if James go anywhere in the country, he'd be all right. He'd know how to change his hat instantly. Okay, Sports City Chefs, you already know what we do at this time. We will be back on air Wednesday night with the cookout. Me, Barry the Villain, Sirius will pop in. If the Patriots pull it off, he'll be bragging, so I know I got to deal with that madness. But you already know how this go down, Sports City. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.